Fifth Line, Mike Todd here, in arena host for your Columbus Blue Jackets, and you're listening to the Subjectively Speaking podcast. And now, here's Jeremy Paul and Laura Norman.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome into another edition of Subjectively Speaking on the Inside the Rink Podcast Network. My name is Jeremy.
I am Kyle. Oh, and hello. I am Kyle. Oh, my God. I just, like, turned into Laura there.
Yeah, that you really did.
That's exactly what she says on the intros. Hello. I am Kyle. Let's restart here.
Jeez. No, that was almost verbatim, exactly, like, the tonality. Like, every piece of it, you were like, you asked me to fill in for Laura, and I am going to verbatim exactly.
Doing the part, man. Oh, man.
I hope you have the end ready to go. I hope you've got the plugs ready because you've got that covered. Because I don't.
I don't either. I think I'm just going to try to take my own path here, actually.
Great. And I look forward to us both doing that. Because the end of this show, I need everybody. I know we're only a minute into the show, but I need everybody to just, like, do yourself a favor. If you're having a rough day, go to the end of the show right now. Listen to that because it's going to be comical. I know it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. But welcome in, everybody. We're excited to be back here with Subjectively Speaking. We've got another new episode. Obviously, it's a little bit of a change of pace. As you all know, you know, we're going to be spending some episodes here without our lovely co-host, Laura, as she's recovering and just focusing on that and her well-being. And so we are going to continue to send her all of our love and all of our good vibes to her. So please join us in doing that. And she's going to be around. You know, it's funny because she might have made mention that she wasn't going to be, like, on social media or things like that. She definitely is still very, very active on our social media. So some of the tweets, I'm saying this now to protect myself too, so that way she can't, like, just start tweeting a bunch of nonsense and then be like, Jeremy, what are you doing? But she's still around, folks. So don't you worry. You're pretty.
Oh, yeah. She's like, she's resting, right? So all she has to do right now is, like, be on Twitter. You know, correct. She's hanging out, just resting and on her phone. So yeah, of course she's on social media.
Absolutely. So continue to send her all the love in the world. And I know that she's listening to this show. So, hey, Laura, how's it going?
Hi, Laura. Love you.
Love you very, very much. But Kyle, how's it going, my friend? I know you always say that you enjoy this part of the show and Laura and I get to do this. And you now you have to talk about your feelings.
Oh, my feelings.
Damn, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I feel like, no, I'm just, I'm good. I'm doing all right. You know, just still watching hockey games for some reason. Watching other hockey games more than the Blue Jackets right now. But I'm starting to move into the crew here. I'm leaning into the crew for their season. They just won. They beat Tigres in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So they're going to the Final Four. I think it's, like, the first MLS team in a while. No, that's not true. Columbus is the first time Columbus has won in Mexico in, like, 20 years or something like that. So it's a big deal, big game. But yeah, man, just I'm kind of leaning into soccer at this point as we are on a hockey podcast here.
Well, I think last year that happened quite a bit around MLS Cup too. Like, I think, like, as the season was getting started in Columbus and it was starting to go a little bit south and you saw the crew just across the street winning MLS Cup, it's, like, really hard, I think, at times to not do the whole, like, comparable of what do they have down there that we don't have here. And it's hard, I think, not to just, like, there is a weird intersectionality, I think, between a soccer fan and a hockey fan. I think that demographic is probably a little bit more overlapping than some other demographic of hockey or of sports fans, I should say. But it's a lot of fun. The crew are, I mean, the first time they've been in the semifinals of this tournament ever. It's a good day to be a crew fan. So I hear you on that. I still haven't been to a game at lower.com. Can you believe that?
You got to get in there. Yeah, I've got, let's get going. Let's, when next time you're down here in town, in the old C bus, hopefully sooner than later, let's go to a game. I got tickets, so we'll go in there.
Perfect. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. That's actually the real reason you're here. I knew you were actually my plug to get into lower.com.
I'm the ticket guy. You need a ticket for Columbus events. I'm your guy. Not really. Please don't DM me or anything for tickets. Anybody that is listening right now.
No, but I mean, hey, listen, if you're
you though are good. Yeah.
But if you're looking for tickets on, is it SeatGeek? Is that your guys's? You can plug it. You're welcome.
SeatGeek, yeah. Look up SeatGeek. There's great concerts, all kinds of shit happening this summer. So SeatGeek.com, download the app, promo code CBJA, get $20 off your first time purchase with each email. So, like, you can do different emails, like $20 off each email, your first purchase. So shit, man, Jackets games right now are like, I think Carolina, the cheapest tickets right now are like $12 a piece. So you could damn near get them for free for the last home game right now with that promo code. Yeah.
It is insane. I remember, I feel like when you guys first started doing that, you were like pretty altruistic and you had some like integrity and you were like, now don't sign up with another email. And now it's like Gmail, Yahoo, Outlook, get them all.
Yeah, you think they care? Like they're going to come stop giving us more subscriptions. Like, no, it's not, they're not doing that. Right. Get them rolling. Let's go. Make fake emails, sign up, $20 off each time. It's crazy.
Each and every time. Yeah, no, without a doubt. So get in because there's not a lot of hockey left. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's kind of hard to believe that we're here. And like you said, I mean, I've got to know which team are you watching? Like if you're like picking a team that's not the Jackets right now, like which, like, is it just really any hockey?
It's like ESPN. I just like, I'll get home after work, you know, take a shower, eat dinner, whatever, turn on ESPN Plus and whoever's on. Like if Edmonton's on, I'm usually watching them. I like watching McDavid and Draisaitl. Colorado, I like watching New York right now. I'm not like a huge fan of Florida for whatever reason. I don't know. It's just something about their whole vibe. I'm not with it. So I don't like, I try to avoid them. I don't know. I'm not like picky and choosy. It's just kind of what's ever on. I think I watched, Chicago and St. Louis last night. I turned it on in the second period. It was already 4-1. Like, why am I watching this? Yeah, like, well, I don't know why I'm watching this. But it was fun to watch. Bedard got fucking crushed at one point. Like, just absolutely crushed. And I started yelling in my living room for no reason. I'm just getting into it, you know?
You got to, because I mean, like you said, it's not like we're exactly like watching Blue Jackets games right now with that amount of fervor, but also like, I don't think either one of us could take hockey out of our blood right now. It's just like this time.
No,
of
year, like, I am low key, like so excited, for IIHF coming up this year.
Me too. Well, and obviously like the shared experience that we had of being in Tampere, Finland, when it was obviously like the global series happened in November, but then that following summer, I believe is when they had it. And I know we both were like, what would we give to be able to like go back there to watch it in person? But yeah, no, I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun. I think there'll probably be at least a jacket or two, depending on how.
Have you heard the news?
I've heard the news.
Yes. Have you heard anybody out there? Gaudreau Werenski, right? Is who was it Gaudreau Werenski?
Yeah. Well, and then I think like it won't surprise me too. Like you've got like with Nash being like in the wings here with IHF Team Canada GM, right? Like he's gonna probably like look to players, even like an Adam Fantilli if he's healthy. Like there, we could see a handful of guys play on teams if they're healthy. I think that'll be the most interesting part about this whole thing is like, are some of these guys going to be healthy? I'm sure players like Patrick Laine aren't, like, we'll see. I don't know if he's going to. We don't know where Elvis Merzlikins has been or like what's going on there, like, so you know, if he's gonna play for Latvia over the, like, we don't know. We don't, like, last year it was a big grandstand that he wasn't gonna do that, right? Like, because it was like, I gotta like play for the team that pays me essentially, and then like, well, here we are. But yeah, so we'll see if he plays for Team Latvia. We'll see. But yeah, it's going to be
fun. I think Elvis needs? What's Elvis that? Needs a PR specialist, because that guy, like, he's got to – if he needs to say something to the media, he should run it through his PR specialist that then just absorbs that, lets him vent, and then says nothing. He says too much. Like, it's too much.
Yeah.
We're sick of Elvis at this point. It's, I'm going to win a Vezina. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it's – he can't even finish a game. And then when he does, he wins it, right? And then it's, I'm hurt again. And he's been out. We're all so sick of this guy. I am, at least.
I feel like I have to, like, be Laura on the show and, like, defend his honor because she's not here to do so right now. And so I'm just going to say that out loud to, like, put it there because I know she would. But I'm not going to defend his honor because, like, we all know.
What,
like,
honor?
We all know where Laura and I are, I think, on that shared spectrum of things. And she is obviously like has a quite also critical of some of the play too, right? Like, I don't want to, you know, be too hard on her for that, but she, I think she would even agree, right, to some of that. Like, yeah, I wish he didn't talk so much. Even after that game against Vancouver where he gets that emotional win in the shootout and then immediately afterward, he's like, actually, I want to leave. Like, it's like, why can't we just win a game? Like, why can't you just, like, yeah.
Yeah, no, but then I was just kidding. No, I didn't actually mean I requested a trade. Like, it just, and then backpedals and immediately. It's just been wild. I'm sorry, I don't know where I just went. I don't know why I went down this Elvis path just now.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry.
I think it truly has to be because you were like, I know that Laura isn't here to.
Yeah, well,
defend him. And so
we talked about it last night on the Artillery podcast too. And I kind of went in, and Jordan, if you listen to the Artillery, you know, Jordan has not been a fan of his for a long time. None of us have been. I mean, we've seen the guys that have come through here. We know what it is. And he's worse than anybody I've seen come through here with the shit that he's brought along with him. We're just kind of sick of paying somebody that much money for, and we're not paying him, but we kind of are as fans, right? We're going to games. We're spending money. I mean, whatever. Anyway,
he is taking $5.75 million of my money.
That's my money. In what? Five shutouts in eight games his rookie year. And that's what we're basing contracts off of now. I mean, bad contract as it was, but we're just so sick of the guy. We're just sick of him. Get him out of here. It's time to go.
That's fair. That is fair.
But a hot take. Is everybody doing that? Am I hot taking right now?
I think that on April 12th, 2024, saying that Elvis Merzlikins has to go, that's not a hot take in 2024. Like in April 2024, it can't be at this point, right? I mean, there might be people who disagree, like, and they can sit there on that side of it and live in that space and whatever. But like, you can't call it a hot take at this point. Like,
fair.
It feels informed by evidence. It feels like if you would have said that, like, coming off of his rookie year, it'd be like, ditch this guy. Like, it's time to move in another direction. I would give you a hot take. But this one, yeah, it feels like an observation, right? Like, it really probably has to be time.
And you look at the guys coming up in Tarasov. As long as he stays healthy, he's got to keep the Yurochek knees off the side of his head. But if Tarasov can stay healthy, I mean, that's the future right there. And we've seen it already this season. That he looks insane. And then Jet looks great. I mean, he looks good. I don't say he looks great, but the Sergei Ivanov coming up, Pavel Kion's is nothing to, you know, just throw away. There's guys coming up that are going to fill a spot that also don't take as much money or cause as much problems as this specific goaltender does. So it's time to move on. I think a new GM is going to make that happen.
Yeah. I don't feel any sort of good for that guy though, because that's going to be, or for that woman who takes that job, because that is going to be a really tough sell to get him out the door, whatever that looks like, whether that's a buyout or a trade. It's going to be hard, but
I would be honestly, going off on another branch here, ecstatic if the Columbus Blue Jackets were the first team in league history to have a female GM. That would be insane.
There are candidates out there, right? I mean, like, if you look around the league, like, Vancouver has two female assistant GM. Like, there are definitely women in hockey that could make that leap and make it happen. And as awesome as I think it would be, something tells me that the Columbus Blue Jackets will not be the face of progress.
You know?
Potentially. Like, something's telling me. I don't know what it is.
I have a pretty good feeling that you're right.
I don't know.
Unfortunate. Oh, well. What are you going to do? It is.
But hey, we'll celebrate when the first one happens, right? I mean, like, it'll be good. But no, I mean, all of this comes from, so what I'm learning, Kyle, is when I ask you how you're doing, it brings up ill feelings about Elvis Merzlikins. And I'm wondering if you've talked to anybody about that.
No.
Got it.
I talked to Jordan and Warren and you and our thousands of listeners. So, you know, I talked to all of them about it, if that counts for anything. I definitely get it off my chest.
Has to be a positive.
Yeah. If anything, I don't need a therapist. I got a microphone. I don't know why I just said that actually.
This is the reason why the number of podcasts created by, like, specifically straight white men in this decade is like soaring, because like mental health is on the decline.
Oh, I'm telling you, it's all you need. You know how cheap it is? You know how cheap microphones are? You could fucking record a podcast on a potato at this point. It's unbelievable.
Correct. And well,
everybody's got one.
Some people do, right? I mean, I think some people do record their podcast on a potato, but we'll leave that where it needs to be and we'll walk away from that space and, you know, leave that as it is. Anyway,
no comment.
So speaking of things that look as if they were recorded or let's say played on a potato.
Oh, yeah.
The Columbus Blue Jackets.
Oh,
yeah.
Just a walking potato of a team.
Oh man. Yeah. Man. It's been a rough week. We were texting about this yesterday, even before you went to record the Artillery, and even today, where I was like, nobody is tuning into this show right now because they want to hear us cover what happened in the week of action before. Like, nobody is eager to relive the hockey that's being played as much as they care about what's happening off the ice. But it's been a rough one. You know, they leave nationwide, get their asses beat by Tampa and Carolina. That is what it is. Those are two teams that are, you know, pretty competitive, right? Like, so it's going to be rough when you're down the manpower that you are, but
they did beat teams like that. I mean, they beat Tampa earlier this season. They've beat New York twice, OTL once. So, you know, it's crazy though, but like we sit here and talk about how, these teams are good playoff teams, but we've seen them go in and beat these teams multiple times this season. I think injuries definitely are playing a part right now. I mean, we're seeing that shit rear its head big time. Everybody, I mean, Carson Meyer, who came up on emergency recall for an injured player, was injured in his second shift of the Philly game I don't know what game it was one of these most recent games.
Sure.
The injuries are kind of shitty. Pascal Vincent still thinks that the team's doing great for some reason. If you listen to his most recent post-game press conference, he really liked what he saw out there, I think, in that 5-2 loss to Tampa. So love to see that. I don't really have much else to say about these losses, but it's just been a brutal end of the season here. I think everybody's just hoping we can all go to sleep and wake up when the season's over at this point.
Oh, without a doubt. And I mean, you think about that game that the roster, and we're recording this before the game, you know, on Thursday. And so, you know, there'll be obviously some news and notes, I'm sure, from that. But, you know, looking at that most recent game as we record against Tampa, right, you start to look at players like you've got Brendan Gaunce, James Malatesta, Carson Meyer, Michael Puthia. Like these are players that are not NHL regulars, right? Like, we're not talking about NHL regulars. Brendan Gaunce has been there and he's done that. But if you're talking about competitive NHL rosters, we're not talking about Brendan Gaunce. And that's no disrespect to him. It's all just to say that this is a team that's, frankly, again, we're seeing a bunch of Cleveland monsters get called up here at the end of the year. And it's affecting their playoff push, which they're in, right? Like, they're going to make it. They're going to be fine. But I actually don't know that they haven't officially clinched, I don't think, at this point yet, have they? They're pretty close. And then like you said, you've got Carson Meyer getting injured. He's somebody who's going to be valuable to their Calder Cup run. I think the thing that I'm most nervous about with these Cleveland guys is when you start to get into these games, these three games that are coming up here tonight as we are recording. So last night, as you're listening, against Florida, Nashville, and Carolina, right? Like, you've got two out of three of you've got three teams there that have all been somewhat competitive at some point over the course of this year. You've got guys playing in this lineup that, frankly, like, don't necessarily have business on an NHL roster quite yet in their development. And right. I'm worried about how that could also affect, like, guys taking shifts off, being not bought in, and how that could potentially lead to some lazy play that could hurt some guys. And that's the thing that I'm most worried about down the stretch in these three games, is making sure that those guys stay healthy, especially when you recognize that the goalie tandem in Cleveland is in Columbus right now. And so you've got to, like, be mindful of that too.
It's unfortunate for Cleveland too. Speaking of, I mean, you know, I think I saw a tweet today. If they win tonight, they're in, into the Calder Cup playoffs. They need to get all their guys back though. I think, I mean, they're all up here getting their shit kicked in by NHL elites in these last couple games. They're playing all the best teams in the league in these last three games. So, yeah, it's unfortunate for Cleveland that they're, like, kind of scraping to get to the playoffs here after being so good in the middle of the season because of all the injuries that have made all these guys come up through emergency basis. But yeah, I agree with you. Just making sure everybody stays healthy, which isn't happening, right? Like, there's still guys getting hurt. Carson Meyer, like I said, went down again. I think it was a head injury. I don't know if he has a concussion or what's going on, but it's just unfortunate that for nothing, these guys are kind of going down and really hurting Cleveland's chances here.
Yeah. And I mean, Cleveland still does have a chance to even potentially win the North Division, but it's just, you know, over the course of these few weeks, they've lost their stranglehold on it, right? Like, it's just not nearly as clear of a cut of a race to the Calder Cup for them as it was just a few short weeks ago. And so we'll keep it locked on them. But the other thing that I know you and I are following am paying a lot of attention to. If you don't know Kyle and I, the one thing that Laura always likes to comment on the two of us is that we are the people who really love what happens behind the GM's desk. And we're really pumped, I'm sure, both of us, to figure out what in the hell is going to happen in terms of who's going to have that role. And we kind of learned something about that. But I think, you know, I don't know if it's like necessarily breaking news to very many people per se, but just basic comments from John Davidson that if the right candidate were to come along that would fill a void in both the president of hockey operations role and the general manager role, that he'd be willing to take a different role within the organization, which I think says a couple of things at least, right? Like, yeah.
It says red flag.
Yeah, hello. It says I've been told that I'm not going to be here, and I think that we have probably, like, whether that be on the show, and I lose track of what I say on this microphone and off of this microphone, insane, to be honest with you. But you know, it's, you have to have had somebody after Yarmo got fired to be around to keep things stable through the deadline and through the end of the season. And I have no notes about the work that JD did at the deadline, before the deadline, thereafter.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, it was a great deadline. Yeah, I think,
I'm fine with it. But I think
Ross, I think, was a healthy scratch in New York the other night.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Welcome to the experiment. But sheesh. It's just been rough, I think, if you're him, because I'm sure in the back of his mind, he's known this whole time that there is a very high likelihood that he will not be in the role of president of hockey operations come next season. And it seems like the foundation for that being a possibility are starting to be laid very subtly through different marketing/PR. Yeah. Things.
It's just kind of, I think it's just getting it out there. I mean, I feel like we're kind of bursting his bubble here, and I kind of did last night as well, you know, with this, whatever. I mean, it's definitely just kind of throwing it. It's going to be there. So now it's already in people's minds that he may not be president of hockey operations, which if he takes a back seat, he's not going to be as public facing anyways, which he wasn't as much this year as we've seen him in past years. Granted, he was out like half the season, I think, not even around the team because he had surgery. He had health issues. So, you know, I think that's fine. I mean, I don't, like I said on the podcast last night, though, he's not going to be extending his contract after next season. I am not confirmed on that by any means, but I am fairly confident, just from the information that I've gathered this season. I think on his way out, I think he truly does care about this team in this city. I think that he's going to do his best to make sure that he leaves this team in good hands. I don't have any doubt about that. I don't think he's checked out. I think that he's working hard for two more years, especially hard these next few weeks, as he needs to find a general manager for this team before the draft. I think that he's going to leave this team in good hands, the best hands that he possibly can with what he has to do. So that starts with finding a general manager. And then that comes in and then the dominoes fall after that. But yeah, I have no doubts about what JD's doing right now with the comments he's made about stepping back. I think it's strategic. It makes sense. And I'm all for it. I think there's good changes coming, and I think he's going to be the start of it.
Do you think that comment was made because there is somebody that exists that is potentially interested that you could see filling both of those roles? Or do you think that was more of just like, again, just laying that foundation and potentially making some people around the league think like, I wasn't considering that prior to, but maybe I am now, knowing that that's a potential? Or again, was this literally just him saying that, you know, he's open? Are we reading too much into what he said?
I mean, here we are in the last week of the season and our team sucks and there's really nothing to talk about. So why not read into it, I guess, right? That's what we're here for.
Sometimes I ask these questions, right? And I'm like, the answer to every question I ask is, of course, because you host a hockey podcast. Like, of course, we're going to speculate on the things that are said. Course, we're going to do that. But I think, you know, there's a part of me that wonders, is that said because you've got some folks around? Like, you saw it happen with Kyle Dubas in Pittsburgh this year, right? Like, he comes in and he's like, he was hired as the president of hockey operations. We're going to spend the summer doing a search, bait and switch. Just kidding. I am, in fact, the general manager. Fuck you. That was kind of like what happened there, right? But then you've got also situations, even like what you've got in, say, like a Montreal, where somebody who he's very familiar with, John Davidson and Jeff Gordon, who he's not. Yes, he's in Montreal. Yeah, am I making that up?
Who's this? I'm sorry, okay. I didn't hear you said
Gordon? Jeff Gordon.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so.
And he is, you know, serving in that similar role that actually JD is in right now, but he's, you know, kind of like overseeing hockey operations, overseeing the general manager there. And his name is escaping me, but I know he's a former player agent. I can't remember. His last name is Hughes too.
And I don't know.
At least I think it is. Never mind. I could be totally wrong. This all could have. We'll find out together.
You're probably wrong. You're usually wrong.
But anyway, is that somebody who is even potentially out there? That connection exists. I think we do this thing in hockey more than in any other sport, because I think that the connections are more well known, where it's like, this person knows this person. Surely they have to be the next this of this franchise, right?
Well, that's how Babcock got hired.
Well, fair point. It is kind of an old boys club.
Yeah, for real. I mean, and then all this Hitchcock stuff's happening too, with him like being honored everywhere, and he had a night at the Blue Jacket. And all I can think about anytime I hear his name now is how Yarmo reached out to Ken Hitchcock to basically get his blessing to hire Mike Babcock, as a reference. Like, just that's all I can think about with Ken Hitchcock now, is Ken Hitchcock's the reason we fucking got Babcock, and all that, everything went down like the way that it did. And it's Hitchcock's fault. I think that. I don't know how true that is, but fuck. Anyways,
that's who you're blaming.
I digress. My God. To JD's comments though, I do think that there is something to that. I think that I don't know that Ken Holland's on his way out in Edmonton. But if they don't get the season out of the season what they want this year, the ownership might be moving on from Ken Holland. He almost got fired mid-season.
Don't say what you're going to say. I really need, I would rather not have.
Dude, GM, I mean, there is a very finite amount of human beings that have ever done the GM hockey operations role simultaneously. And they're still, like, a lot of them are still doing it right now, and they're with other teams. That experience is hard to come by. And I think that in this situation with a team that has there's such a high stake right now with what this team is going to be in the future, the way that this prospect pool looks, if you bring in the wrong guys to bring up this prospect pool, it's not good. It's not going to be a good situation. This team has to be good in a few years with what they have. And I think you cannot bring in a brand new general manager because of that. It has to be a retread, truly. So Ken Holland, Jeff Gordon, I don't think Gordon might be on his way out. I mean, Montreal stunk again this year. There's only a few guys. So I don't know if that is what JD is saying, is that that narrows it down a lot to who the candidates could be at this point. I don't know. Maybe that part we are reading into a little too much. I think the field of view there is still pretty wide, but I don't know. It is very interesting. I've been thinking about this a lot, about, whoa, what did he mean? Was it cryptic? You know, like, what's going to happen? And I'm going to be wrong about all of it, and it's fine. Whatever.
Oh, of course. Aren't we always, right? Except for the one time that you were like, Johnny Gaudreau is going to be a Columbus Blue Jacket.
Never forget, baby. Yeah. Called it.
Every single time.
I almost got the contract right, too.
You're right.
I said 8 years, like $10 million, and it was seven years for $10 million.
I was this close. But hey, I did look it up. Pretty close on everything. Kent Hughes is the general manager in Montreal.
Right.
Doing what I can. But I will tell you, I'd rather root for the Atlanta Blue Jackets than have Ken Holland be the general manager of this team.
What's the beef with Ken Holland? I don't understand.
I truly do think that there is no reason that the Edmonton Oilers at this point in Connor McDavid's career should not have won at least 2 to 3 Stanley Cups.
Like, I'm totally with you. I was talking to somebody at work here that's also a Jackets fan. We're talking about who's going to be the next GM and all these things. And he's like, Ken Holland could be a good candidate. I said, yeah, because he has the two best players in the league and can't win anything with it. Like, yeah, right. That's because that makes sense.
Well, it sounds about on. Fuck. He's going to be the next general manager. Because
are we manifesting it right now?
Well, it does track, right? Like, it feels
Ken Holland's the GM, and then Joel Quenneville, he'll hire Joel Quenneville.
I mean, if it's ever going to happen, it would have happened last summer, right? Like, alongside of Mike Babcock. But
even better, do it just the season after. Learn nothing. Learn nothing.
Scorched earth. Am I right?
If you go back and listen to the podcast Artillery from last night, I screamed about it. Like, Because I know the front office, somebody in the front office is listening to our podcast for like buzzwords, right? They're listening or they're running us through an AI program or something looking for words. So they listen to it. I know that they do. And so I yelled at them. I yelled at the front office and said, there in absolutely no circumstance can you hire Joel Quenneville. There's zero reason to ever hire that man, especially the year after Babcock. Even if somebody, a time traveler, shows up in your bedroom at night, wakes you up and says the Blue Jackets will be 0-82 for the next 10 seasons if you don't hire Joel Quenneville. You don't fucking hire Joel Quenneville. You don't hire him. You eat it. Just take it. You cannot hire that man. The PR would be unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And also, this is a team that has a fan base that is also intersecting and overlapping with the fan base in Cleveland that almost threw a parade after going 0-17. Like, I'd rather live in that space than live in the space where Joel Quenneville is the head coach of the Columbus Blue Jackets. So,
no, there are some good ones out. I think Lindy Ruff would be a good guy. Yes, I think Lindy Ruff. He's a top 10 winningest coach in league history, I think.
So this actually kind of segues a little bit into my theory on our next topic, which is that the rumor on the street is that Gavin Brindley might not come into the NHL, might not go pro. He might return to Michigan.
It's all but confirmed. Yeah.
Yes. So I, for one, totally fine with this. Like, I don't know what your sentiments are on it in terms of like, if you're okay with it, if you wish he was coming, but can I tell you that one of the first things that came to my mind is like, what do you think the conversation was between Adam Fantilli and Gavin Brindley that maybe helped to inform the decision? And maybe there wasn't one, but like, is there any conversation? Is there any fear in your eyes around a conversation that might've been had about, hey, we've got some shit to figure out here in the locker room, in the coaching, yeah, in the coaching room. Like, we've got to figure some shit out in the coach's office to before you feel like you should come into the fold. Like, do you think that anything to do with it? Or do you think that it's sick? Are we just talking skill and development?
That has everything to do with it. I believe Brindley's ready to come in and play AHL time. But we're not ready for him to come in and play AHL time. There's no GM. This coach is not going to be here next year. And if I'm wrong on that, I might give up. I think that there is no chance a GM comes in and keeps Pascal Vincent.
The only way I see it is if that GM does not think there's any possible way they're competitive next year with the roster he has. And is like, I'm not going to waste a year of a coaching hire on a new guy who's going to
have a waste if you're developing a team for the future with, there's no wasted years with a coach. I don't think in any respect of it. I don't think.
I don't think from the player's perspective, but I think these general managers know that they only get so many years with certain coaches and so many coaches before their job is up. And I think they want to try to hold on to that for as long as possible. And I think they know that if they waste a year of a coach on a team that's going to be shit, then that limits the shelf life of that coach a little bit, which might limit their shelf life. And I might be reading too much into that, but like, I could see it being a scenario where it's like, hey, we're not going to be competitive this year. Let's keep it this way. I would disagree fully with the sentiment. Like, I would think it's a wasted year of development, but I could see it happening because of the way this league works.
Yeah, maybe. I do think that going back to the first thing, think Gavin Brindley is probably doing this because there's no certainty. It even like if he would, where he would even be at this point next season, there's nobody here to tell him that right now. So it's impossible, especially with JD saying he's willing to take a step back, which he would then remove himself from any of like the player. I mean, he'd be a consultant, but he's just kind of, it's a step back out of the team entirely. So there's really not anybody in position right now that's going to be here in the future to make these decisions. So it does not make sense for Brindley to come in his own profession. It's giving him an extra year to develop. It doesn't burn a contract year. And I think that the front office in a way told him, like encouraged him to go back to Michigan without telling him why. They probably brought him in or gave him a call and said, hey, what were you thinking about doing? Or we think you should, you know, just give him a little influence one way or the other, just based on what they think is the best. And I think that they influenced him to go back to Michigan. Absolutely. And it makes sense. It makes the most sense for everybody.
And frankly, I mean, it's one of the programs that you feel like you're the closest to AHL level development and in terms of like what kind of attention he's getting in the program that he's in. Like, if he were at a program that had lesser facilities, lesser opportunities for development and access to those resources, I'd maybe be a little bit more worried. But I don't have any fear over a player who's at Michigan developing appropriately. Like, that's one hell of a program. It always has been, it always will be. He is going to be impactful at Michigan. He could fuck around and challenge for a Hobie Baker next year. Like, and that's not even like, Hobie Baker, sorry.
I could
see it happening. Like, sincerely. I mean, he's somebody who, like, one of the best players in the Big Ten this year. He's going to be a junior next year. If he's back in the NCAA ranks next year, he could be one of the best.
Yeah, I agree. I could see. Wouldn't that be crazy? Two Hobie Bakers on the team together that played on the same team together in college. That'd be pretty wild, huh?
I am telling you that, and I hope, and I know that they probably listen to the show. I know that there is no one more grateful than the Columbus Blue Jackets marketing team to know that they're going to have those two in Adam Fantilli and Kevin Brindley to have for content purposes over the course of their NHL careers.
Oh yeah.
They are very excited about that, I have to imagine.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about him. I'm hoping I'll be able to catch a game or two. They're playing, I think, tonight, right? Like, tonight is the final, is the Frozen Four. The first game of the Frozen Four is tonight, right? Or is that, am I wrong?
I'm looking it up. I have no idea.
I think, so as you're listening, you're like, oh, they already got eliminated, or they are on to the national championship game. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun to see these guys compete at such a high level, no matter where they're competing, and competing for championships is important.
Today's Thursday, right?
It is. It sure is, my friend. Friday, so, if you're listening.
Frozen Four, first game just started. Second period, Denver and Boston. Boston is up 1-0. Second game tonight at 8:30, Michigan and Boston College.
Good stuff.
To answer your question in the longest way possible.
Hey, it could have been longer. You could have found a way.
You're right. You want me to keep going?
I can't continue.
No, I don't think so. I don't think I have anything left in me right now.
Understood. Well, I figured you might want to keep going on this Gavin Brindley topic for as long as you could, because you know what the next topic is, and I don't know if you want to talk about it.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, if we have to. I mean, it's your show. You know, it's fine. If we have to talk about this, then fine. Let's talk about it. Let's hear it.
And I'm not too proud to say that if things would have gone the opposite way, that we might not be talking about this at all.
I wouldn't expect to. Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. I can't say that we wouldn't, but, as fate would have it, Kyle and I, we've been trying to keep you all updated somewhat over the course of the year of what our Subjectively Speaking and Friends Fantasy Hockey League has looked like, how we've been doing. And it's been a pretty good year for one of our co-hosts, and that is me. And it's been a little bit of a rocky year for Laura's team. She had a lot of injuries she had to deal with. It wasn't a great year, but nevertheless, fate put Kyle and I together in the championship matchup the week that we were to come together and start recording Subjectively Speaking together. So this was going to be tense. Like, I was worried about what this could be, but thankfully for my sake, it went my way.
Yeah, whatever. For your sake. You're just lucky that we didn't put any money on this, or else I'd be a little bit more pissed off, I think.
That's fair. That is fair. And if we would have put money on it, I guarantee you would have won, because I don't think I've ever come away from any pool with any money related to a sports thing with money. So, like, I think it was wise on my end. And I told Laura, we usually have a thing where we will throw some merch and a free pizza, because Laura and I are foodies, right? Merch and a free pizza to the winner of our league. And I told Laura, you know, since we moved networks and we're still like trying to secure new sponsorship things like that, I said, I really was just trying to save our bottom line for the year by winning the league. So that was
super fair. Yeah.
Yeah. And so next year, yeah, of course. She was like, well, we can send you some of our own merch. And I was like, I actually could use it. I actually don't have a ton of it. I actually probably need to buy some more of it, but
yeah, you should.
It is what it is. But yeah, so Kyle, kudos to you.
Nichushkin screwed me, dude. He came back. He was hurt a lot of the year. So I think somebody dropped him earlier. I picked him up because I saw he was coming back. I put him on my IR. He was playing. He played a few games at the end. And then he got hurt right at the end of the, like right at the, in the last round of the playoffs for me. So you got lucky, honestly, is what happened. So I'll see next year, though, and maybe money next year, huh? Let's make it interesting. Yeah,
that works. That works. And I mean, I will say I did get my ass kicked in the Artillery League and the championship. So, like, I will say that I didn't go 2-0 in my championship. I was going to be pissed if I went 0-2. Like, that I would not have set well with me if I lost both of them.
But I really wish you would have. That would have been really funny.
Thank you so much. You're really kind. I love you a lot.
Yes, I try supporting you as much as I can.
And it's evident. It's very clear to me.
Good. I'm glad.
But shout out also to Kelly Blaine, my dear friend, for finishing third in the league. So bronze goes to Kelly. So kudos to you, my friend, for doing that. But man, Kyle, like, what are we gonna do for the rest of the year? Like, how are we gonna do this, man? I mean, like, we've got one more episode really where we're gonna talk about Blue Jackets games, because as we're recording right now, three left in the year, but while the folks are listening, only two games left. The 80th game tonight against Florida, yesterday as you're listening, and then you've got Nashville and Carolina to wrap up the season, which, to your point, I actually can't think of three more insufferable games to watch. I hate watching them play all three of these teams. Like, there's no other stretch of games that I would rather tune out on than these, but I will tune into them mostly for the fact that they are the end of the year. So,
yeah, fair enough. I don't know. I mean, I'm probably going to go to the Carolina game, I think. Maybe.
I haven't
decided yet.
Hey, well, if you create an email.
Oh, $20 off. You're right. Wow, you just keep plugging
it's gonna
be free. For me. That's
it's gonna
amazing.
Be free. It's going to be free.
You're right. It would be free, I think. Yeah, I'm ready for playoffs. I'm ready to watch playoffs. I haven't picked my team for playoffs yet. I don't know. Who are you going to root for in the playoffs?
I don't know, honestly. I think it's going to take me a second to get there, too. I probably, I mean, last year I was kind of pulling a little bit for Seattle. I think there's, like, an affinity there, like, just for some of their former player. Well, having some former Blue Jackets on the roster last year, usually that's where I land. I feel like I usually end up rooting for, like, who's my favorite former Jacket in the playoffs. And that's usually who I want to see, like, win a Stanley Cup. Right. But,
right.
So I've got to, like, suss through that a little bit more, but the good news is that, you know, we're going to be put on the spot here in the next couple of weeks. When we sit here, we'll probably do our picks. I don't know. Do you guys do that on the Artillery? Do you go through and do you do your playoff predictions?
No, we don't. We should. That's a good idea. I've never really thought about that. I mean, we are, like, just strictly hardcore Blue Jackets. I don't know. We get weird with it. Like, fuck other teams. We hate other teams.
I get it. No, that's totally fair. That is absolutely fair. But
am I saying the F word too much on your podcast?
No,
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
It's just such a, like, natural. I put on headphones and I have a mic and I just immediately turn into, like, I just have to say it. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Laura and I, for a while, started competing over who got the first fuck of the episode. So
That's a good, that's a fun one too. I think I won today.
Probably. If you're listening, you can let us know. Yeah.
Also drink every time I say it.
Correct. But
take a shot.
Correct. But we'll be back here this time next week, probably talking more of this kind of stuff, wrapping up for the Jackets. We've got some more stuff to talk about here coming up in future episodes, even though the team won't be playing. You know, we've got plenty of upcoming RFAs and their deals to talk about. And again, that's where you're going to really get into the bread and butter of what Kyle and I like to talk about. You've got some prospect talk coming up because, again, we're going to be toward the top of the draft and we're pretty excited about that for some reasons and some for not. But Kyle, is there anything else on? I always ask Laura this. Is there anything else on your hockey heart before we wrap this one up?
On my hockey, are we done already?
I think so, man. I'm telling you, we don't do, like, we're not out here like the Artillery. You guys will go, and I love that about you, but Laura and I, we don't have the stamina.
Fair enough. No, I don't think so. I'm trying to think of something. I don't know.
That's okay. It's been a quiet week for the Jackets. The next ones, folks, we promise you, as Kyle and I keep getting into a flow, that these ones are gonna balloon, and by the time Laura's ready to come back, you're all going to be like, thank God, because we're going to be on hour 2.5 of a show, and you're going to be like, these idiots can't stop talking. But it's just been a quiet week in Blue Jackets land, which I honestly will take. Like, I will.
Yeah, compared to like the loud weeks that we've had this season, I will take the quiet ones, I think, right now. I'm just kind of ready for it to be over. I'm done with the injuries. I'm sick of it. I'm glad to hear Fantilli's not playing the rest of the season. I know that sounds bad on the surface, but it's good for him and everybody else. There's no point in doing that. Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of like, my hockey heart with the Blue Jackets is just kind of numb right now, honestly. There's just like not a lot there. And there's not a lot to really even like look forward to right now, because we don't know who the GM's going to be. We don't know what the draft looks like for us. We have the fourth best odds to get the first overall pick, whatever the fuck. I mean, so that means we'll pick seventh, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of like ready for it to be done with for the season. I want to watch other teams play.
You and me both. But
as bad as that is to say, I don't know. I'm kind of done with that. Marchenko's crushing it right now. I don't care. He's very streaky. I'm kind of sick of it, but he needs to get consistent. If he consistently does what he's done the last couple nights for an entire season, he's scoring 45 goals.
He reminds me of Oliver Bjork's fan in that way. Like, he's very like, I felt like Bjorky was like that. Like, I think he was always like away from the puck. It was always like, you never really were like worried. Like, you never thought that he was like a problem on the ice, but in terms of the production, streaky. And that's like, and we found a way to make it work with him. I think obviously we'll do the same for Kirill if he doesn't find his game more consistently, but would love the consistency. Agreed.
Would love it. That's all I got.
Love it. But okay, friends, now the time has come, and I'm so worried about it. I've got to wrap this one up, and I have to give the plugs, and I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm afraid of it. You're afraid of it. We're all afraid of it. But if you are not,
I'm excited for it.
Thank you. Yeah. Again, as formerly mentioned, super supportive of me and really like in my corner through everything. But if you want to keep up with everything that we are up to, and if you want to keep up to date with Laura, myself, and Kyle, you can follow us all on our personal social media pages at ITR Jeremy, at ITR Laura, and at Kyle's Artillery. You can follow us, our podcast page on Twitter at Subjectively Pod and Instagram at Subjectively Pod. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube at Subjectively Speaking. We've got a great website. Go to www.subjectivelyspeaking.com. And if you're looking to purchase any of that merch that we said we give away for free to our winners, AKA me, Kyle, in case you forgot.
Fuck you.
That's subjectivelymerch.com. And if you're feeling so generous of us and you want to go give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, you can do so by scrolling down to the bottom of our show page, giving us 5 stars. It is our favorite number. And we don't know how the algorithm works, but we just know that it helps to get us noticed in the hockey podcast charts, gets us on people's radar. So, you know, give us some love. But
we are angels and deserve 5 stars.
Damn it.
All right. 5 stars.
And if we don't deserve it, Laura does. So, like, at least give us 5 stars.
She deserves 10 stars, but you can't. So do 2 5-stars. Make a new email, like SeatGeek, 2 5-star ratings, 10 stars.
Yeah, exactly that point. Yes. Try to get us to 100. That's the goal. By the time we get to, like, episode, what are we at right now? We're at episode 218. Let's set a goal, 250. I'm going to be a realist here. Let's give us another 32 episodes to get another, like, 30-ish, I think, ranking.
Hell yeah.
So let's make it happen. But until we get the chance to come to y'all next time, please make sure that you take care of yourselves, take care of one another. We'll chat with you all this time next week.
Goodbye, I'm Kyle.